friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, that you are a good father, that you hear our prayers. And we pray for Alistair now as he comes and shares on this passage, that your spirit would move through him, that you would speak to us, and that you would speak through him, and that we would see more of you this morning through what he has to share that you've come.
Oh, excuse me a minute. Why do people phone you at the wrong time? This guy knows me well. He knows I'll be in church at this time, and he rings me. No way I'm going to answer him. And what's more, if he speaks, he's on for an hour. And it's so boring. So boring. Just a wee warning for the AV people, my iPad has lost connection, so I'll need to request that you change slides. Sorry. I'm assuming last week you did the Lord's Prayer, and the disciples asked Jesus about how to pray. This week, next slide, thanks. Does God answer our prayers? Or does he look at the identity and say, no, Gordon Brown's just phoned me. I am not going to answer that call. I have no time. Do we decline his call? Does God do that? Does he say, for goodness sake, there's Fife again. He's phoning me and I'm busy. And he's always on about the same thing. Does God answer our prayers? Have you been praying and you've been thinking to yourself, God is not listening? Next slide, thank you. And we've read, thank you for reading that passage to us. We've read this story of this man who late on one evening, there's a knock on his door. His door is shut. Now, in the first century in Israel, if your door was shut in the evening, during the day it would be open all day. Once the door was shut, then that meant that the family had gone to bed. There would be one room in the house which would house the animals who would come in at night time for protection and warmth, their living area, and then there would be a raised area where the family would sleep all together in the one area. And once they were up there in that raised area and sleeping, nobody should disturb them. But this guy gets a visitor in the middle of the night and he's got no food. And it's a sacred duty in Israel to give hospitality. And he's got no bread. So he rushes out to his friend, or so-called friend, and he knocks on his door and says, hey, you'll need to help me. You'll need to help me. I've got no bread. I've got a visitor that's come and I need to prepare a meal for him. Next slide, thank you. And his friend is not very responsive at this point. Suppose the one inside says, please don't bother me, for goodness sake. Do you know the time? You know, see the time? Doors locked, my family's in bed, we're all sleeping, we were all sleeping. And you come and bother me at this time. I tell you, says Jesus, that guy kept knocking because he needed help. And eventually, because he was embarrassed and because of his friend's persistence, he opens the door and gives him what he needs. Next slide, thanks. Now, that's an interesting parable. Is it telling us that God is a bit like that grumpy guy who's in bed? Is that what it's saying? He says, no, it's not. It's not saying it. It's a contrast. This is not what God is like. When we look at both the Old and the New Testament, time and again, people call on God in prayer. Probably every single one of you have called on God in prayer, maybe even just this morning. And maybe you've been thinking he's not answering. Or maybe you've been thinking he's too busy with other people's bigger problems than mine. Scriptures tell us that the Lord says this, Isaiah 38, to Hezekiah, who was suffering from a fatal illness, and he cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord, look at this, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I have heard your prayer, Hezekiah, and seen your tears. Crying out to God? Is there something that's so desperately difficult in your life, such a burden that when you pray, you're crying to God and he sees your tears? There's another psalm where it tells us that the Lord actually stores our tears in a bottle. He remembers when you cry to him. He's a God of compassion and kindness. In Psalm 37, when the righteous, those who are seeking to honor God, cry for help, the Lord hears. The Lord hears, not sometimes, but all the time, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. God hears your prayer. And that thing that you've been praying about, that person you've been praying about, next slide, thanks. God has heard your prayers. Don't for one second think he has not heard your prayer. He has. And he will answer. Jeremiah in chapter 29 of his prophecy, speaking to God's people who were in exile in Babylon, Jerusalem and Judah having been destroyed by the Babylonian people. And they were in the worst mess you could ever imagine. And the Lord says, I've got a plan for you. And actually that plan has been present long before all this started. It's not a new plan. It's a plan I've always had. And I will bring you back to your homeland. It's a good plan, not to harm you. And then he says, you will call upon me and come to pray to me, and I will hear you. The Lord hears your prayer. It's very simple. He doesn't see the identity and press decline call. He hears your prayer. And Jesus said this, when you pray, you don't need to go into great detail and babble away and keep babbling away. Just tell him directly what the problem is. For your Father, look at these words, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. And that's the mystery of prayer, isn't it? Sometimes we think, well, if he knows already, why is he asking us to ask him? He wants us to trust him. He wants us to verbalize our need, to lean on him and recognize that all we have, all we are, and all we will be, and every circumstance of our life is under God's control. And that's brilliant, isn't it? Lena, my wife and I are part of a gardening group in the village in which we live. We help tend the gardens. And There's about 15 ladies in this group and me. And most of us are retired. But I put on the Facebook for the village, we need more men. And one guy joined about a year ago. And he came along, no Christian background, no faith, never been to church in all his life. And one day he asked me, he said, Alice, what are you doing the weekend? And I actually was preaching at the local Church of Scotland in the village that Sunday. I said, I'm actually preaching. He says, how did you get into that, Alistair? Now that's an opening, isn't it? So I was able to tell him. And he came to the church on Sunday to hear me, poor soul. And he came along. And then they got a new minister, so I haven't been able to preach there again. But 3 months ago, he said to me, Alistair, you haven't asked me to come to church again. You haven't been preaching, or you haven't told me when you're preaching. I said, well, that's because I'm not. I said, however, I am involved in an Alpha course. Would you like to come to that? So he and his wife come along to the Alpha course, which we're halfway through just now. 3 weeks ago, one of the ladies in the Alpha course says, I never pray. I've never prayed, but I think I'm going to try it. So around the room, about six or eight people said, I will do that too. So I said, we'll report back next week. Now this guy who's in the gardening group has been looking for a job. He was given involuntary redundancy at the age of 61. Been trying for 2 years to get a job. Turned down because of his age or whatever. And the following week, I hardly had the words out. I said, has anybody tried praying? When he bursts in, yes, I've tried praying. I prayed for a job. I've had three offers in 1 week. And he's got a job in Jordan Hill as a catering manager. Does God listen to your prayers? And here's God who's answering this guy's prayer, who's ignored God all his life. Does he listen? Yes, he listens. When you call to me, I will hear you. Next slide, thanks. And so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you, as the old authorized version says. For everyone who asks receives. He who knocks, the door will be opened. And God is saying here through Jesus, he's saying, listen, keep on praying. If there's an issue or a person you're praying for, keep on praying for them. Don't give up. I have a little notebook at home, which is my prayer notebook. And there are people in that book I've been praying for 40 years, that God would answer my prayer for them, that they would come to know Christ, or those who are away from Christ, that they would turn back to him. And there are people there who have been praying for less years than that, but whose circumstances are dreadfully difficult. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Pray for the people in this church. Pray for your friends, your relatives, your loved ones. Pray for your country, for the governments. Pray that God will bless. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Do you know what that phrase means in Hebrew? It's the picture of a loving parent over a child in a crib, just waking up, sees the face of his or her loved parent and responds in smile. A loving parent, may his face shine upon you. And God looks on you like that. You are his child, his masterpiece. He has created you for his purposes. Next slide, thanks. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should pray and never give up. And he tells a story about a lady who had some legal problem, and she went to the local judge, who was corrupt and self-centered. She was unimportant to him. And he just refused to see her, but she kept coming back, and she kept coming back, and she kept coming back. and eventually he answered her request. And the Lord is saying, look, God is not like that in the sense that he's corrupt and slow to answer. If he takes a while to answer, that's because there's a purpose in the waiting. Abraham, you remember the story of Abraham, who said to the Lord, I wish I have no children. At the age of 75, I have no children. I long for a child. And the Lord said, I'll give you a child. You and Sarah will have a child. 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 3 years went by, 4 years went by. Do you know how many years went by? 25 years before God answered that prayer. But then God gave him Isaac, the promise of God. Now let me tell you, keep praying. Don't give up. And Paul, when he wrote to the young group of young Christians in Thessalonica, he says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Pray when you get up first thing in the morning, when you get out of your bed. Let the Lord be the first person you speak to. Let him be the last person you speak to at night. And talk to him as you go to work. Talk to him as you do your housework. Talk to him as you're making your coffee. Talk to him about anybody that comes into your mind, because God has brought them into your mind so that you pray for them. Have your life a constant conversation with God. Tell him how glad you are that he's with you. Tell him about, there was a beautiful sunrise this morning when I woke up. Just beautiful. And tell the Lord, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that I'm alive. Thank you that I've got a car. Thank you, Lord, that, oh, just thank him. Always be thankful. For this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Never stop praying. Next slide. But some of you will be saying, God is not listening to my prayer, Alistair. It's okay for you up front, but God isn't answering my prayer. He's not listening to me. Well, he is listening. He always listens, but sometimes there are barriers to God answering our prayer that we put up. Not him, we put up. Next slide, thank you. In Psalm 66, the writer of this psalm said this: if I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If you or if I have something in my heart that I am doing wrong, and I know I'm doing it wrong, that I have a wrong attitude of heart, and I pray to God, he says, I'm not listening. I'm not going to answer that prayer. You put yourself right. You know you're doing the wrong thing. Put it right. If I upset my wife, I remember the first time this happened to me. Not the first time I upset my wife. I remember the first time this particular thing I'm about to tell you happened. I upset my wife and off she went to bed. And you know, you husbands, you know what happens. The atmosphere's like ice, isn't it? And you don't know what to do. And sometimes you don't know what you've done wrong, but often you do. And I sit down to talk to the Lord in prayer at the end of the day, and my wife's in bed, upset. And the Lord says, hey, Alistair, go and put it right. Don't talk to me when you've upset your wife. Put it right. Put it right. If you've got an unconfessed sin that you haven't put right with the Lord, he'll hear your prayer all right, but he's not going to answer it until you put it right. For years I prayed to the Lord about a big issue, the biggest issue in my life, and I said, Lord, if you sort this out, I will follow you. I had been away from the Lord for years. And he says, no, Alice, that's not the way round it goes. He says, you start following me, and then I will lead you. Put it right, Alistair. And James, when he wrote, the brother of Jesus, almost certainly this James, he talked about wrong motives. Sometimes when we ask God, we ask him for the wrong reasons. We want to get things for ourselves because we're selfish. Lord, I must get that job. Lord, I must do this. Or Lord, you must do this for me. No, no, says the Lord. I'm your Lord. I'm not your coffee machine that you put the money in and I just deliver what you want. I am your God. Submit to me. Don't be selfish in your prayers. Pray for others. Pray that God's will be done in your life. Your will be done on earth, in my life, as it is in heaven. Is our motive wrong? Sometimes mine is. When I'm praying, the Lord says, put it right, Alistair. Put it right. Next slide, thanks. And sometimes broken relationships, very important. If you are offering your gift at the altar, if you're coming to church, he's talking about the temple here, but if we're coming to church to worship God, and there we remember that actually there's somebody we know, a brother or sister, or a friend, a fellow Christian, that has something against us because we've upset them. He says, listen, leave your gift at the altar there, go back out the church and put it right with that person. Say, I'm sorry. There was a guy in our church that I had a conflict with. In our church, both of us were elders in the church. And I found it so hard to speak to him. And one day during the communion service, I remembered the words, these words of the Lord, but also the words where the Lord says through Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, when you come to take communion, examine yourselves to make sure that you're right with God, and then take communion. Don't not take it, but put it right, and then take communion. And I had to sit with this guy and say, look, I'm sorry. I've been out of order here. Is there somebody that you have hurt? A broken relationship? Somebody you wouldn't sit beside because you're upset with them or they're upset with you? Somebody that you've hurt maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you haven't put it right, then the Lord says, don't come and worship me. Put it right. Do what you can to put it right. So that's very important. Very, very important. I actually mentioned this in our communion service just a few weeks ago. And I got a phone call from a lady in the church who said, were you speaking to me, Alistair? Because she has in her family several members, she tells me, who she's out of sorts with. They don't speak. And she says, I couldn't take communion, but I'm going to put it right. Now listen, this is serious. Don't think God's going to just bless you and bless you and bless you if you are persistently ignoring his will. Put it right, and he will bless you. Next slide. Unforgiveness. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now that's hugely significant. I know people who have said to me and said to others, Christian people, I will never forgive that person. Now that is terrible. Sometimes we feel that. Sometimes I felt that. I would never forgive somebody for what they've done to me. But God has said, yes, you will. I forgive you, Alistair. And you were responsible for putting me to death because of your sin, Alistair. And I forgave you. Now you go out and forgive in my strength. Have you unforgiveness in your heart? Then put that right. And you can do it just now. While we're sitting here, put it right with God and say, Lord, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like forgiving that person, but you've asked me to do it, and I forgive them in my heart in the strength you give me. Don't play with God. Because if I continue this unforgiving spirit, then God says, that's a barrier between me and you and your forgiveness. Put it right. So the barriers to God answering our prayers are not God's barriers, they're our barriers, aren't they? May the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us and ask us, and maybe point out the areas that are causing a barrier in our communication with the Lord, and then just put them right. Next slide, thanks. So how does God answer our prayer? Is he cruel? Next slide. Does he taunt us when we ask for things? And he tells this story, which of you fathers, next slide, if your son asks for a fish, you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Is God cruel? No way. And he says, if you then, who are evil, who are imperfect human beings, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, you know, you have your children and they ask for something, yes, okay, you can't always give them what they ask for because it's not suitable for them. And that's true with God, isn't it? With us too as adults, we ask for God for things. And God says, no, it's actually, that's not the best thing for you, Alistair, just now. It's not best for you. But he's not being cruel when he says no. He's being kind because there is something better he has for us. And he says this, how much more, if you're good to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Next slide, please. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is God saying no, but actually I've got something much better for you instead. And Paul, that great first century Christian, said this, I was given a thorn in my flesh. We don't know what that was. Something that tormented him from Satan and kept me from becoming proud, he says. Three times he got on his knees and he said, Lord, sort this out, please. Take it away. And each time the Lord says, no, I'm not going to take it away. But my grace in your life is enough for you. It's all you need. My power is able to work better when you are weak. When you realize that you cannot sort things on your own and you come to me, then my power works through you even more. So he says, now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's the paradox of the Christian life. The more I realize that I can do nothing on my own, I can't face today on my own. I can't live physically without God. I can't live spiritually without God. When I realize that, the more I realize that, that allows him to fill me more and more so that what I do and who I am, his power is shown through my weakness. And it's God's power, not my power. And so if God is not answering your prayer, and a bit like Paul, he's saying, no, I'm not going to do this, but I will help you cope with this. And more than just cope, I will help you to overcome this difficulty, this trial, this issue, whatever it is. And in my strength, I will bless you. Next slide, thanks. And above all, when we are anxious about anything and when we bring our anxieties and our fears and our difficulties to the Lord, in prayer, what does he do? He gives us his peace. His peace. That's the first answer to prayer. You've handed your problem over to the Lord. And he will deal with it. And you know he will deal with it. He may not deal with it in the way you thought he was going to deal with it, in the time that you thought and wished he would deal with it, but he will deal with it, and he will deal with it in a way that is a million times better than the way you would deal with it. And what's more, as you're waiting for him to answer, he is with you, inside you, all around you, protecting you, giving you his grace, his peace, and his joy, his wonderful joy. And that's the peace of God that is supernatural peace, because it transcends, it goes way beyond what we can understand. When you pray, your Father, God your Father, knows what you need. He knows what you need before you ask him. And he's saying, trust me. Will you trust him this morning? Will you trust him for that issue that burdened you when you woke up this morning and will burden you when you go to sleep tonight? Will you trust him with that person whom you love and you're worried and anxious about? Will you trust him with that issue at work, in the neighborhood, in the country, in the world? Will you trust him who is your God? And as we do that, next slide, thanks. How much more will your Father in heaven, next slide, thanks. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's a promise, isn't it? If you trust him, you receive God himself through his Spirit within you. Next slide. Just Jesus said this to his followers. He says, once I've died and I've risen from the dead and go back up to the Father, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and he will be within your hearts. If you love the Lord Jesus, if you trust him, you have God's Spirit within you, all the power of God within you. And the Lord says, that's my promise. Rejoice in that. Holy Spirit, next slide, thanks. Paul urged us in Ephesians chapter 5, urged the Ephesian church. He said, listen, go on being filled with the Spirit each day. Let the Spirit of God fill you each day. And as you let him fill you, his peace comes. His joy overflows. He guides. He lets you rest in him and wait for him to work in the magnificent way that God works, because he makes everything beautiful in his time. Everything beautiful in his time. And yes, eventually that will be true when we enter eternity. Absolutely true. But meanwhile, he says, trust me and rejoice in me. I am in you. I am with you. Next slide, thanks. Does God answer your prayers? Does he hear your prayer? If you haven't got the message, my goodness, I pity you. Because it's yes, yes, yes. God answers. And he hears. And he loves you. And he has already put into action the plan to help you, to sort this problem out. But meanwhile, to give you the grace to love him, to rejoice in him, to be the people God wants you to be, filled with his Spirit, and so that the joy of the Lord spills out from this building into this community, into your neighborhood. Just last Wednesday, wee gardening story, just as a finish. We go to do some gardening. The forecast on the BBC website was pouring rain, which happens in the west of Scotland a lot. Pouring rain. And I go to meet David. He and I were doing quite a heavy job together. And he came running up to meet me, and he gave me a big shake of the hand, then a big hug. This guy who just, God is working in his life. He says, "Alistair, I prayed last night that God would give us half an hour with no rain to do this job. And look at it," he says. "Does God answer your prayers?" Yeah.